Now, next week, we're starting a brand new series called Run to God. I am excited about that. You'll get more details starting next week, but it's going to be an amazing series. Today, we're doing one single message. I love the transition. January 1st is always a great time. I think it's a human nature thing, to the sense of closing out something and beginning and having a brand new start. People like brand new starts. A lot of times in January, we do what? We set some resolutions, do we not? How many people have set resolutions? Just a few of you. How many have already broken the resolutions you set? You know what I mean? It was like some of us broke the resolution while we were setting the resolution. I'm going to eat better as you grab those chips. And like, I done messed that up. I didn't make it fine. I didn't get it out of my mouth, and I done messed it up. We do that because there's a sense of, I want to try something different or try harder so I can be better or have more or be happier or succeed in these areas of life that I believe are key in the rhythm of life. But you can gain, you can grab hold of, you can achieve a lot of stuff and still not be truly happy. Because there must be a transitional thing that happens in the rhythm of our life. We see this within creation. We see this within the way God created us, that there must be new stuff that is being birthed or being brought out, or new things that we're achieving or reaching to. But there must be things that we let go of. There must be things that we can let go of, because you cannot hang on to everything in your past and get everything in your future. Stick with me. You cannot hang on to everything in your past and get everything that God has for you in your future. This past Christmas, my wife and I, we bought presents for my daughter. As good parents, we like giving our daughter something that she enjoys to open and that she'll like. It wasn't the fact of just having a box that's wrapped, but having a box that's wrapped of something that she wants. But holding on to the first present can eliminate her from receiving the second present. Stick with me. Because if she opened up the first present and said, I love it. Okay, let's give you the second one. No, I can't let go of the first. You say, you got to put the first down so that you can get the second. I like the first. Well, I'm glad you like the first. And you know what I mean? But you got to be willing to let go of something to get something different. What am I telling you today? The things that God has done for you are great, and they are awesome, and they came from God, and they are wonderful. But if you try to hang on to everything that's happened in your past, it'll keep you from receiving what God has for you in your future. I want you to get this. Because one of the things that will hurt the church and has hurt the church in history is all due respect, especially if you're a guest, we are not into religion around here. I define that as man's rules to get to God. And what has happened in religion, or in the rut of religion, is that they have taken that which was great and held onto it so tightly that they refuse to open up their mind or eyes to see what's next. And because they have made what God has given them sacred, instead of God being sacred, they have held on to ideas or methods or gifts or presents or whatever it might be, and saying, this came from God, I know it's godly, and they hang on so tight that it hinders them from receiving what God has for them. Well, this is the way it's always been done. Praise God. But you know, God's so big that he maybe have an idea, a method, an experience, a revelation that's beyond the parameters of what you hold on tightly to. And in an effort to hold on to something to make it precious, they literally suck the life out of it, and you wake up and move down in time into the future and come back around, and that which used to be alive is now struggling with death. The group or the church or the organization or the denomination or whatever you want to call it, that which was alive begins to struggle with death. Did you hear me? Amen. I'm not here to bash anybody, but let me give you a good example. If you've ever been to a Methodist church, you would never think of a Methodist church in today's terms as something that's full of fire, life, and the power of God. You think of it more in a traditional fashion. But John Wesley, the beginning of that denomination, did not start it traditionally. He started with the demonstration of God's power. What happens if we're not careful? We will take the tradition of the past experiences and make it and hang on to it so dearly in an effort because we value what God has done, but we hang on so tightly that we make that which God has done as sacred and not God, and we hang on so tightly that we're refusing to let go, and we find ourselves one day not experiencing God, but having had experienced Him. Did you catch that? Not experiencing God, but hanging tightly onto the past experiences. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in a tradition or a rut or a routine that is a repetitive of the past with no life of the present. Stick with me. Because it's the design of your Father and desire of your Father for you to consider nothing sacred but Him. Which means, God, I appreciate what you've done, but if you have something else, I'm going to let go of where you've been because I want to be where you're at. No. See, some of us are comfortable with the smoke of where He's been and not in the fire of where He's at. And if you want to be in the fire of where God's at, what God is saying or what God is doing, we have to be willing to let go of what we've had received. Not saying it's evil or wrong necessarily, but we have to be willing to let go of present number one so we can experience encounter present number two. Paul says it this way. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reach forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's just not forgetting the pain. It's forgetting the past. We strive in our humanity to just forget the negative. And in this effort, if you study that word out, forgetting doesn't mean that you just can't remember. Because it's the extreme things in life that we never forget. I can remember an experience when I was in kindergarten. I can remember an experience when I was 8 years old. There's years of gaps, but the extreme good or extreme bad tend to stick clearly in our memory, do they not? So it's not a matter of forgetting what you cannot remember. It's a matter of letting it go. Don't depend on it. Don't look to it. Look to Him. Don't depend on it. Depend on Him. Well, I know it's going to be a great year because I did some great things in 2011. Don't depend on what you did or didn't do, what you succeeded at or failed. Keep looking to Him because it was your looking to Him that enabled you to succeed in 2011. It was you looking to Him that brought you through in 2011. And if you begin to say, well, I'm going to look to where I've been to help me get through where I'm at, you'll not get through where you're at. You'll go back to where you were because the reality is you got to keep looking to Him. I might be going too fast for you. I know some of you were up late shooting fireworks and pulling up. I remember as a young kid, probably about 19 years old, my dad was a pastor of the church. And he had taken the staff to Florida. I'm feeling Jesus. Hang on. We stayed in this condo in Florida, and one of the things that, you know, when you're young, 8, 9, 10, you kind of just do whatever the teenagers are doing. You know, I mean, you don't get much say. No one ever asked. Have you noticed that? Maybe they do nowadays. I don't know. We weren't asked. We just ate what they put in front of us. We went where they were going and did, I don't know. But anyway, and so we would go at night to the beach, and on the beach at night, there'd be these little baby crabs that would come out, and we would have a flashlight. True story, and a bucket. You see, what would you do? We would go with a flashlight, and if you saw a crab, the light would cause it to just to stop. And the goal, why, I have no idea. The goal was to grab hold of that crab, pick it up, and put it in the bucket before it grabbed hold of you. With the little pinchers. Creepy little things. I'll never forget those things. Running sideways. And so we'd walk the beach, and we'd see, like, I got one. And you'd reach down and grab it and throw it in the bucket. So everybody that was in that group of mostly teenagers were doing it. I thought, well, I'll do this too. And the first one I grabbed, how many people know you don't usually do things successfully the very first time when you've never done it before? The first one I grabbed, I didn't grab it correctly, and it grabbed me. And so now here I am, shaking, screaming, trying to get this thing off me, because it's hurting, and I want it to let go. And sometimes in life, we find ourselves messing around with stuff we should have never messed with before. And we thought we could handle it. And we wake up, and that which we thought we could control is not controlling us. It's not got a hold of us. And we find ourselves in a rhythm, shaking ourselves, trying to get rid of this thing. If I only can break this addiction, if I can only change my mindset, if I can only change the way I'm feeling, is somebody with me? And we find ourselves in life, we're not careful, because we were reaching out to stuff we should never been touching. Don't get me preaching on this verse. Oh, it's okay, I can go there. It's okay, I can be a part of that. It's okay, I can watch that. It's okay, I can do that. I got a handle on it. And all of a sudden, the thing you thought you had a handle on, that you could get away with, that wouldn't get a hold of you, has a way of reaching around with that little snip thing. And the first sign of pain is your first revelation that you no longer are the one in control. Oh, God, help me. And you'll cry and pray and struggle and move around trying to get this thing to let go. And some people cry and they pray, not because they want to let go. They just don't want the pain that comes with what they're doing. But the truth is that it doesn't hold you. Yeah, Pastor, I'm trying to get rid of this thing. I'm trying to shake this thing off. It's got me. I'm trying to get a break away. The truth, my friend, is that it doesn't hold you. You are actually still holding it. Don't get quiet on me right now. See, when you get quiet, that's a sign of you're under conviction. That means I just got to hang out here until Jesus does what he wants to do in your life. So we'll tell that third service, you stay outside. We got people being dealt with today. Because the perspective that the devil will say is that he has you, and he'll tell you, you'll never get away. But the reality is, he doesn't have a hold of you. You have a hold of it. Yeah. Oh, come on. So don't be easily distracted. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing you are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Look at the screen. Wherefore, seeing you are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Yeah. Let us what? Lay aside. Let us let go of every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have you ever been in prayer? This is rhetorical. Don't answer. Just between you and Jesus. Have you ever been in prayer and said, God, why haven't you delivered me from this? And maybe the problem is not God. Maybe the problem is your understanding of what you truly want to be delivered from. Because more people want to be delivered from the torment of the sin and not being delivered from the sin itself. I still want to hang on to the crab. I just don't like when it pinches. Can you get the pinchers off me? And God said, if you let go of the crab, it will all be free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Are you with me today? I know some of you are like, oh, is it Happy New Year? But I want us to transition individually and corporately with the reality of the things that the devil's a liar. Because Jesus said that the devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies. There is no truth in him. And the moment he said, I got you and I'll not let you go, you must understand he's not strong enough. You're a child of God. What is happening? He doesn't have you. You're still holding on to him. And he's redirected. Catch this. He has redirected your focus. Because if he can stay in darkness, he can still stay. When light shines, darkness flees. As long as he's not revealed, he can still win. But when he's revealed, he's defeated. And when he tells you that I'll not let you go, he's trying to redirect your attention so that you begin to think that he's hanging on to you. And the truth is, you're hanging on to him. If you're willing to let go, just not of the torment, let go, just not out of the pain, but let go of the thing that's connected to it. Well, you know, it's okay for me to watch those movies. I'm cool. Let go. Well, I can go to those places that don't bother me. Really? It might not bother you when you're there. But what you sow to, you will reap to, reap from. And you wake up saying, why do I have these desires? I'm telling you, the desire is an indication of a past seed. When you have a strong desire for something wrong, you better look at what you have been allowing to be planted in your spirit. It can come from a movie. It can come from a book. It can come from other people. And as they plant garbage in, all of a sudden you'll begin to... It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that there's been some garbage planted and you're experiencing the fruit of the junk. Where are you, Jesus? I'm telling you, let it go. Let the junk go. Well, you know, I haven't been an alcoholic in 3 years, so, you know, I think I'll just go with my friends and hang out at the bar. Really? See, what's happening is you think you're strong enough, and really you're hanging on to it, but you don't like the pain of the result of it. See, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And most people don't want to deal with sin. They just want to be dealt. They just want to dealt with the pain and the torment and the destruction of your. See, sin will cause you to decrease your self image. The devil's there to destroy who you are on the inside. God help me. See, we ask God. We'll do the act, and we'll ask God to heal us from the consequences. And when God delivers you from the consequences and delivers you from it, if you truly don't let go, guess what? You'll go back. But I'm here. Are you listening to me? Man, I'm feeling the anointing on this right now. Are you listening to me? Let me show you how the things of the Spirit work. I need your eyes. I know there's a lot of us, but I need your eyes. If you will set your focus, I want you to look at my eyes because I'm going to begin to speak into your life. And I don't know who you are, but I decree prophetically over your life by the authority of the name of Jesus. And I call you free, free indeed, bound no longer. Satan, you're a liar. And in the name of Jesus, by the power of God, I set you free into a new year, not to be tormented or imprisoned by the past. Say, I'm free. This is totally different than the first service. But a lot of times we're like, okay, God, I'm going to keep doing what I normally do. I'm going to keep my attitude. I'm going to keep my habits. I'm going to keep hanging out with the same people that lead me astray. I'm going to keep going to the places that lead me to the wrong place. I'm going to keep doing all that stuff. But Lord, I want you to just free me. He don't free you so you can see sin. He frees you so you don't and won't sin. Let us lay aside. God would never tell us to do something in Scripture that was not possible. Because if the weight and the sin held you, you couldn't get free from it. And the fact that he says to lay it aside means that it's not holding you. You are holding it. So it's not a matter of saying, Jesus, I'm sorry, so I can feel good about myself. I'm good about my day. It's saying, Jesus, I'm sorry, and I repent, and I'm turning, and I will not go down that same path. Not by your ability, but Philippians tells us that it is God working in you and through you, giving you the desire and the ability to do his will. That's when you say, God, I am so sorry, I repent, and I need your power. Change me, Jesus. Empower me. Strengthen me. So, because I'm not going to hang on to this stuff. I'm going to let go of the good and the bad. And I'm going to turn. And I'm going to move toward the destination that you've called me to be in. This week in my preparation, the Lord gave me two words for this year. If you watch Christian TV, you'll see a lot of people saying prophetic words for the years. And that's cool. That's important. There's a powerful principle. Not everybody's going to work with everything. You have to understand that. So the word that I want to speak prophetically into this house today is not for every church. It's not for everybody. But it's for the people that are called to this ministry. Do you hear me? So when people get on TV and say, here's the word that God's given me for 2012, it might be for them individually. It might be for them and the people under their influence. It might be a regional thing. It might be a national thing. It might be an international thing. So just because they said it doesn't mean it's for you. But the word that God has placed on my heart to speak prophetically, are you listening?
Yes.
Into this house today is these two words, motion and movement. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Motion and movement. You say, what's the difference? One is what God is doing behind the scenes. For there's some of you that have felt in 2011, some even farther back, 2010, 2009, 2000, 1988, 1954, are you with me? Have felt that you've been stuck. God, is this the best that you have? Is this all that there is? God, I prayed and I cannot seem to get to the next step. And the word of the Lord for you today is that motion and movement that God is in 2012 will begin to create some motion for movement that can be interpreted differently for anybody and each person. It might be, hey, in this 2012, you're going to see movement, a change, a foreign motion in your promotion of your job. It might be a better pay. It might be a better job in the company you work for. It might be a better company that you work for. It might be a better neighborhood that you live in. It might be a better experience with God than you've ever had before. What am I telling you is that the Spirit of God is going to, by the hand of God, the unseen to your natural eye, begin to move things out of the way that have been a hindrance from you from going forward. For some, it might be a natural motion. For some, it might be a spiritual thing. Either way, but you're going to see the doors open, the water spread, a path being made clear, and you're going to be able to walk into another level that you've never walked in. And I'm hearing the voice of God to say, get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. You need to be ready. You know, the Jewish people had the mindset to pack light. We have to be willing to pack light. Because at any moment, God said, now he can move you to the next level. And if you hang on to stuff, making stuff sacred, you will not be able to move quickly. We must be flexible to say, God, you and you alone are the most sacred thing to me. And the moment you say move, I'm going to move. Motion and movement. Motion and movement. This is going to be a year of forward progress. With the rule and authority of God, stepping in and reshuffling, reshifting, and in some cases, removing things that have been a hindrance from you. I don't know who I'm talking to. That you've been saying, God, I know there's more. Not that you haven't seen great things, but on the inside, you just had that sense of, God, I know there's got to be more. I know there's got to be more. God, I know there's got to be more. And I'm here to tell you that this year, 2012, is going to be a year of motion and movement. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm going somewhere. We are talking about no longer being stuck, no longer in neutral or park. We are getting the car of our life in gear, and at the green light of God, we are going somewhere. Not saying, I wonder if it's going to work this time in the car. No. When we move, we're going to move. When we put down our foot on the gas pedal, it's going to move. It's not going to chug. It's not going to die. It's not going to go back and forth. No, no. We are going somewhere. 2012, a year of motion and a year of movement. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes?